For our Bible reading, I want to point you to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And also the Epistle of James, chapter number 5. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. James chapter 5 in verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Our scripture text is 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 3 again. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I want to preach to us what I'm calling Lessons from the Brook. I wanted to read in your hearing that verse of Scripture found in James 5 in regard to this prophet of fire, this great man of God, Elijah, because when you realize the great feats that he accomplished and you understand the mighty acts that he did by the power of God, one would think of, you know, such a superhuman, if you will, such a mighty person, such a person that was so awe-inspiring, a person that was so amazing. But then the Scripture says, according to James, that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. I find that very interesting because the name Elijah simply means Yahweh is my God. His name was of heaven, but his emotions were of earth, for he was of like passions as we are. He's a very mysterious man, this man Elijah. Do you know that we have no record of his genealogy? We know nothing of his parents. And as a matter of fact, he was a Tishbite, which means he was from Tishbi. But come, where is that? The historians say they're not sure. We really do not know where Tishbi was. We just, the only thing we can say is, well, at the time when the Lord called him, he was an inhabitant of Gilead. And that's all we know about this man. He comes so mysteriously on the scene without beginning, if you will. A man, we don't know who his parents were. We don't know his genealogy. And then, of course, we know also that he was taken away into a fiery chariot. Many interesting things about this man. But I think James gives us the key. And James impresses upon us the thing that made Elijah to be such a man that he was. And that was he prayed. Hallelujah. Oh, the thing that sets Elijah apart from so many others, and the thing that will make you and I different from other mere men, is if we will learn to pray. May I simply say it this way, that faith made all Elijah that he became. Everything that Elijah became, everything that he was and all that he accomplished and everything that was done for the kingdom of God can simply be said it was because he believed in his God. And may I try to cause you to understand that he was a man just like we are. But he prayed, and the Bible said he prayed earnestly. Yes, he prayed earnestly. Everything about this man, he done it in passion. When you see him go before the King Ahab, he was passionate. When we see him praying, he prayed with passion. When we see him upon Mount Carmel, we see him with passion. He was a man of fire. You see, the failure of you and I is we are too cold. We're too passive. We're too lukewarm. What we need is fire. Wouldn't it be great if we went with passion to our worship? Wouldn't it be great if we went with passion to our prayers? Wouldn't it be great if we went, amen, before God with passion? The thing that we lack in this last day is passion. I mean real feeling, emotion, to get involved, to put everything into it, the whole of our being, everything about us. Help us, oh God, to be men and women of passion. He was a man of passion. And it was this man that God sent to the brook. There are three lessons I see God teaching this man in regard to him going to the brook. The first of all, the definite place. I say the definite place that God ordained. A place that God ordained. I like verse 2. And the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. You know, nowadays everybody's wanting a word. Everybody's wanting, you know, someone to tell them something. Everybody, you know, is, you know, when they're seeking for a revelation. This charismatic preacher from Fort Worth, Copeland, was in Texarkana a few days. And he gave a whole lot of people a bunch of words. You know, but the Bible said here, the word of the Lord came. You know what that impresses upon me? You know what that causes me to believe? That God has a way of getting the word to you. He may use one of his servants. He may show us something right out of the Word of God, but God does not have a speech problem. I just simply need to let God know that I want to hear His Word, and whatever Word God has for me, the Lord will send me that Word. A lot of people feel like, well, I need to call up so-and-so, or I need to go here, or I need to go yonder, and that person will tell me what to do. But I'm glad for him that God has a way through His Word and through obvious circumstances to hedge our path and put us right exactly where we need to be. You don't have to be in doubt. You don't have to remain hesitant. You don't have to be unsure. But God can use the man of God, and God can use the Word of God to give you exactly what you need to hear. The Word of the Lord came. I'm so glad that when I had questions, the Word of the Lord came. I'm so glad that when I had doubts, the Word of the Lord came. I'm so glad that when I didn't know what to do, the Word of the Lord came. I'm so glad that when I needed somebody to come to me and say, this is the way, walk ye in it, the Spirit of God was there, and the Word of the Lord came. Oh, hallelujah. In 1972, my dad was pastoring a small church in Meridian, Mississippi. God dealt with my dad to leave that church. And for a number of years, he traveled in full-time evangelism. And then his experience was much like that of the Apostle Paul. He had been in prayer for a number of days, and God gave him a dream. And I say it was much like the Apostle Paul, because instead of it being Macedonia, it was Caledonia, a little small rural town in Lowndes County, Mississippi. My dad had a dream. And in that dream, he seen a man standing there and saying, come and help us. And when Dad got to where that place was, it was the church, it was the place that he had saw in his vision, the Word of the Lord came. May I say that what God is waiting for is somebody that will hear the Word. For he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. What God is wanting is somebody to say, yes, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. the word of the Lord came. And notice what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, get thee to the brook. Go to this place called Cherith. Think first of the name of the brook. The name of that brook, Cherith, means cut off, or literally cut down. And so here this prophet is to go to this isolated, out-of-the-way place, a place, if you will, where he is cut off from public view, a place where he is to remain obscure, a place where he will not be seen, a place where he will not be in the limelight. Can you imagine? One day he stands before the king, Ahab, and then the next day he is sitting by the brook, cut off from everybody else. I do not read that he ever had a visitor. I do not read that they came as in the days of John the Baptist into the wilderness to hear him preach. I do not believe, I do not see in the scripture of where any great crowds ever sought him out. And one would wonder, how could God ever get the glory with a man being set down and set aside? But God had a plan, and God said, go to the brook. And it may be that you're here tonight and you're wondering, oh God, how can my life give you glory? Me sitting here, how can I, Lord, bring glory to your name here? But God has a plan, and God knows what he's doing. And sometimes God says to us, I want you to go and sit by the brook. Think not only of the name of that place, cut off, but the necessity of that brook. For you see, the Lord told him in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I will have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Where? There. He had to get there. It was the only place the prophet could be and be right. For him to be right, he had to be there. You see, my friend, God has a definite place that he wants all of us to be. And if we are someplace else, we are not where God wants us to be. In order for us to be adequately prepared for Carmel, we must first go to Cherith. In order for us to be able to withstand the prophets of Baal, in order for us to be able to stand before wicked Ahab and his wife Jezebel, we must first be alone with God and spend some time with the Lord by the brook. You know, the Bible teaches us that even the Apostle Paul, he went for some 2 years plus into Asia. Amen. What great truths he learned. What great things God taught him. That time when he was alone with God. May I say, before every great occasion in the life of God's men, he put them into a state of preparation. Remember, case in point, of how that Jesus, after he was baptized of John, notice what happened. Heaven opened, the Holy Ghost descending like is in the form of a dove, the Father speaking from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And immediately the Spirit driveth him in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days. And he was tempted of the devil, and the wild beasts were with him. 3 times he quotes the word of God, amen, and he sends the devil to flight. And the Bible then says this, then returned Jesus into Galilee in the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, my friend, God knows how to prepare his man. God knows how to make him ready for the occasion. And that is what God was doing in the life of his servant. A definite place that God had ordained. I believe that it's important. Our sister has already spoke that so well. And I know that all of us rejoice that the Vaughn family have chose to make this their home church. But I rejoice even greater because I am assured that before she made that choice, she made it a matter of prayer. Hallelujah. It's important, friend, that we be there. Because if we are not there,
we're not in the right place with God. The question before I move on is this. Are you there? Are you where God wants you? Have you put yourself in that definite place? Have you resigned all of your will? Have you surrendered each of your desires? Have you submitted all of your aspirations? Have you said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done? Sure, he might have thought of a more desirable place. He might have thought of a place that would have been a whole lot more accommodating. But God didn't say go somewhere else. God said carry it. And I want to say to you, my friend, you may wonder, God, why this? And why here? And why now? But may I say, God knows exactly what he's doing. Just be grateful that the word of the Lord came. Just be thankful that he thought enough of you. Just be grateful that he left you enough to tell you what to do. Amen. I see in verse number 4 a divine provision that God ordered. I like verse number 4 because it begins like this. And it shall be. Not hope so. Not maybe so. Maybe, you know, if it works out, if I can get all them birds together. No. It shall be. In any circumstance, in any situation, he's God. And that means he's in control. Divine provision. Divine provision for your need. Divine provision for my need. It involved some advanced planning. It involved some advanced planning. Do you understand, friend, that your life is not an afterthought of God, but your life is the careful forethought of God? For he says this one word, commanded. It's already done. He's already said it. It's in the past tense. I have already commanded those birds. I have already commanded. Yeah. He's working in my behalf. He's making everything perfect just like it needs to be. God had just the brook for his prophet. God knew where that place was. He knew exactly where to send his servant. So when all the other little brooks had dried up, when every other little crook, cranny, and crevice in all the hillsides were exhausted of their moisture, God knew that there was a place at Cherith of where the water would be to sustain his servant. Amen. And I love Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And George Matheson so eloquently said, not only are the steps of a good man ordered of the Lord, but the stops of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Can I remind you that God can still make a way? And so for Elijah's life, there was some advanced planning. God was getting everything prepared. A brook and the ravens. Everything all carefully planned for his servant. Come here now. God never intended for your life to be like a jigsaw puzzle with half the pieces missing. Some people say, what's the use to pray about this or that or another? Can you tell me of a better thing to do? If a man has a decision to make, if a man is concerned about financial welfare, if a man has a domestic decision to make, if a man has an occupational decision to make, if a man has some type of decision to make that will be long term, that will be lasting, that will affect not only himself but others, can you tell me of a more wise counsel to seek? Can you tell me of anybody you'd rather ask than Almighty God? Amen. Are we of such a mind that we go about blindly, that we go about never giving thought that God has a purpose in everything that He does? And if we will but seek His face, He can guide us. He can lead us. We're not dogs. We're not animals. We do have rationale, and we can reason. And God can speak to our hearts. And God can tell us what to do. God can tell us what to say. And God can tell us where to go. If somebody will just say, Lord, would you tell me where I need to be? Would you tell me what to do? I believe the word of the Lord will come, and God will give you wisdom, and God will give you direction. Oh, yeah. It's not the will of God that we go about life blindly. It's not the will of God that we go about life fatalistic. Whatever will be, will be. No. God has a plan, and God knows what He's doing. What I must do is get in the program. Yeah. Now, some of you are going to stumble over that because you get up every morning and rush right out the door like the house is on fire, and you never take time to pray, God, what do you have for me to do today? Don't back up on me now. Usually on Tuesdays, I'm at the church from morning till church time. I just spend the whole day here at the church. This morning, I came over to the church, and while in prayer and waiting on the Lord, I felt so impressed to make all of my study complete and get everything ready for the pulpit. I had no sooner just finished what I was doing, and the phone call came that Brother Collins had been taken to Wadley through emergency. I went to the hospital, and I stayed there for the rest of the day, just in time enough to come home and prepare for the service and come in at church time. What am I saying? I said, thank you, Lord, that you knew the events of the day. You knew where I'd be. And you knew, Lord, of how that my mind would reel and rock and I would worry over the message. But you helped me to get all that took care of this morning before the task of the day began. That's what I'm saying. If you'll be still before the Lord, if you'll wait, if you'll listen, the word of the Lord will come. And He'll tell you exactly where you need to be and exactly what you need to do. The divine provision that God ordered, it involved some advanced planning. And not only that, but it gave some amazing provender. Look at the food that came to the man of God. It's very remarkable for a number of reasons. One reason is that these ravens were scavengers. And it's quite amazing that they would find food fit for human consumption. And then yet remarkable still that them having found that food, that they would not devour it themselves. But here God ordains these birds to find this food. And of course it's been preached many times, and it may very well be true. It may have come off King Ahab's table. I don't know. But nevertheless, God, for the duration of this prophet's stay at Chariot, suspended the laws of nature. Because, you see, these birds were carnivorous, and they would devour all meat and bread that they could find. And it was against their nature for them to find meat and not consume it upon their own lust. But God suspended the very laws of nature, and those birds went out and found that provender and found that supply and found that food, and they brought it to the man of God morning and evening. He eat what the ravens brought him, and he drank of the brook. May I say, it's just exactly what the Apostle Paul means in Philippians 4:19, when he declares, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His glory, according to His riches by Christ Jesus. He's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got a superlative supply. He's got boundless blessings. He's got just what you need. All you've got to do is get there. All you've got to do is get there. All you've got to do is get where God tells you to go. Now, in closing, there is a distinctive principle. I say a distinctive principle that God makes obvious. In summary, what are two things that I understand? What are two things that I now realize, having understood that there's a definite place that God has ordained, that I now know that there's divine provision that God has ordered? What is the distinctive principle? For why are we given the Word of God? For why is this story included? If not, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our admonition and for our learning. Hallelujah. What can we learn? We learn this. We learn that God's Elijah will be greatly tested. God had an Elijah. But just because he was God's, just because he was God's prophet, just because he was God's servant, did not exclude him from being tested. God's Elijah will be tested. And just because we are handpicked of God, and just because we're chosen of the Lord, and just because we're one of his, does not exclude us from test. It does not mean that we are immune from trial and tribulation. Come now, it's not an easy thing to sit by a drying brook. Every day, the little stream becomes more narrow. When he first came there, perhaps the little brook sang cheerily as it rushed over the rocks with its rapid flow. And every day he marks that it flows just a bit slower, and its course is still yet more narrow, until finally there's only just a pool, and the water is now still, and he notices it's just getting a little bit stagnant. The brook is drying up. May I say to you that the drying brook does not mean that you have displeased God. It only means that you've passed the test. For you see, while God's Elijah may be greatly tested, Elijah's God may be greatly trusted. In the beginning of my story, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. At the conclusion of my story, the brook is dry. But then we come to the event of him going to Zarephath. And here it is again, the word of the Lord came. So yes, while God's Elijah will be greatly tested, I can also assuredly proclaim that God will move for his servant, and God will make a way. Yes, God's Elijah, God's servant, is going to have to go through a trial and face a test. But when it's all over, Elijah's God is going to come out true, and the dry brook is not a sign of God's displeasure. It only means that you're coming close to graduation day, and you're going to get your diploma from the university called Dry Brook, and it's going to show you that you've made it through the test, and God has now prepared you, and you're going to Zarephath, and from Zarephath you're going to Carmel, and you're going to stand on the mountain, and you're going to pray to God, and God's going to rain fire from heaven. Yeah! Hallelujah! The God of Elijah is a God to be trusted. The God of Elijah is a God you can depend on. The God of Elijah is a God that will meet your need. Let's stand all over the house. Let's get a song, if you will, brother. Father in heaven, thank you for these dear people. Thank you, Lord, for their faith, for their trust, for their commitment to you. And Lord, I feel that I have preached to some under the sound of my voice that even this day they've been tested. Reassure them, Father. Renew them in their faith. that when they are tested, you can be trusted. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Have you asked today? Today, has that question come to you? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? You're being tested. My message tonight is to reassure you that when you're being tested, God can be trusted. I want to see you pass the test. Your heads are bowed. You say, thank you, Brother Shad. I want you to pray for me, Pastor, that I'll pass the test. I want to see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Three quarters, if not nearly all. Thank you. You can trust Him, friend. Trust Him. We trust Him with our soul. We trust Him for the forgiveness of sin. Can we not trust Him for our financial needs? Can we not trust Him for our physical welfare? Can we not trust Him for our family affairs? Preacher, I feel like I've just wound up my brook. What care? What concern, what provision. God forethought it. God planned it. God purposed it. God allowed it. Thank God for it. Sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord.